Welcome back to Abu Ali's podcast. We're coming to you today with an urgent update on the escalating situation in the Middle East. Joining me is our Middle East military conflict analyst, Lida, to help us unpack the complex events of the past 24 hours. Lida, it's been a truly intense period, hasn't it?
Absolutely, Gakrex. What we've witnessed is a significant escalation in the direct confrontation between Iran and Israel, moving beyond proxies to direct engagement.
Indeed. Let's start with the initial reports from Abu Ali Express confirming missile launches from Iran, followed by red alerts across central Israel. About 20 missiles were reportedly launched. What's your immediate analysis of this initial Iranian volley?
The launch of approximately 20 missiles directly from Iran towards Israeli population centers, specifically central Israel, including Tel Aviv, Halan, and Beersheba, represents a clear and direct challenge. While reports from MDA indicated multiple light injuries and some damage, including to Soroka Hospital from a blast wave, the sheer act of direct fire is what's most significant from a geopolitical standpoint. We also saw reports, later confirmed by the Home Front Command, that one of these missiles was a cluster munition. This is a particularly concerning development.
A cluster munition? Can you elaborate on the implications of that?
Yes. Cluster munitions are designed to disperse many smaller submunitions over a wide area. The Abu Ali Express channel cited military reporter Duran Kadosh, who detailed that such a missile can release about 20 smaller bombs, each weighing around 2.5 kilograms, spreading over an 8-kilometer radius. This type of weapon is inherently indiscriminate. It's not about precision targeting, it's about maximizing damage and casualties over a broad area, similar to how Hamas uses metal ball bearings in its explosives. It clearly indicates an intent to cause widespread harm, not just military damage.
That's a critical detail. And on the Israeli side, we saw immediate and strong reactions. The defense minister, Yoav Gallant, made very pointed statements, even suggesting that the existence of Supreme Leader Khamenei is a target. How do you interpret such direct and unprecedented rhetoric?
This is a profound shift in rhetoric, Gakrux. To explicitly state that Khamenei's demise is part of the operation's goals, as the defense minister did, is an extraordinary declaration. It moves beyond targeting military capabilities or infrastructure to directly challenging the very leadership of the Iranian regime. This signals an extremely high level of commitment to dismantling Iran's hostile capabilities and potentially its leadership structure. It's a statement designed to send a very strong message of deterrence and intent.
And Israel's actions followed quickly. We heard about 40 fighter jets attacking dozens of military targets, including the Arak nuclear reactor. What's the strategic significance of that particular strike?
The strike on the Arak heavy water facility is highly significant. While described as non-active, this reactor was designed for plutonium production, a key component for nuclear weapons. The Abu Ali Express reports noted that Israel specifically targeted the moderating structure within the reactor, which is crucial for plutonium production. This sends a clear message about Israel's resolve to prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons capabilities, regardless of its current operational status. It's a direct blow to Iran's nuclear infrastructure and a stark reminder of Israel's capabilities.
We also saw reports of further Israeli strikes, specifically targeting Iranian missile infrastructure and personnel trying to rebuild after initial attacks. It sounds like a sustained campaign.
It is.
The reports of 20 fighter jets attacking ground-to-ground missile infrastructure and killing dozens of Iranian soldiers who were attempting to restore damaged sites, as reported by Abu Al Express, indicate a strategy of attrition and preventing Iran from quickly regenerating its offensive capabilities. It mirrors tactics we've seen against Hezbollah in Lebanon, where attempts to rebuild after strikes are met with further attacks. This suggests a deliberate ongoing effort to degrade Iran's military infrastructure.
Speaking of Hezbollah, we've also seen targeted assassinations in Lebanon. Mohammed Ahmed Karaz, an anti-tank commander, was eliminated. How do these actions fit into the broader picture?
These targeted killings, like that of Mohammed Ahmed Karaz and Ahmed Ghazi Ali in Lebanon, are part of Israel's long-standing strategy to degrade the capabilities of Iranian proxies and deter attacks from those fronts. While the main focus is currently on Iran, Israel continues to act decisively against threats from its immediate borders. It shows that despite the direct engagement with Iran, Israel is maintaining pressure across the entire axis of resistance.
The information war is also raging. Abu Ali Express highlighted Iran's internet shutdown and attempts to control the narrative, even claiming Soroka Hospital was only hit by a blast wave, not targeted directly. And on Israel's side, strong warnings against citizens filming impact sites.
Yes, information control is a critical component of any conflict, especially in the digital age. Iran's swift move to shut down internet access, as reported, is a classic tactic to manage internal dissent and control the external narrative. Their claim about Soroka Hospital being merely affected by a blast wave while attempting to create AI models of Israeli military bases under hospitals to justify attacks is a clear propaganda effort. Conversely, Israel's strong warnings to its citizens about filming impact sites are directly aimed at preventing Iran from gaining valuable intelligence that could refine their targeting in future attacks. In essence, both sides are fighting a battle for facts and perception.
And what about the United States' role in all of this? We saw conflicting reports with the Wall Street Journal saying Trump approved plans, but then Trump himself tweeting that the WSJ had no idea what he was thinking. And now the White House saying a decision on U.S. involvement will come within 2 weeks. What's your take on this ambiguous stance?
The U.S. position is certainly complex and deliberately ambiguous at times. Trump's public denial of the Wall Street Journal report, followed by the White House statement of a decision within 2 weeks, leaves room for both strategic flexibility and pressure tactics. It allows the U.S. to maintain a degree of leverage without committing prematurely. While there's likely coordination behind the scenes, publicly the U.S. is carefully navigating its involvement, balancing support for Israel with avoiding a wider regional conflagration. The 2 weeks timeframe could mean anything from immediate action to prolonged deliberation, keeping all parties guessing.
The immediate implication is a heightened state of alert and the potential for further direct exchanges. Both sides have demonstrated capabilities and resolve. We should watch for any further Iranian retaliatory actions and how Israel chooses to respond to those. The targeting of the Arak facility and the strong rhetoric against Khamenei suggest that Israel is aiming for a significant degradation of Iran's strategic capabilities, not just a tit-for-tat exchange. Long-term, this escalation could redefine the regional power dynamics. If Israel successfully degrades Iran's nuclear and missile programs, it could reshape the balance of power. However, it also carries the risk of drawing in more regional actors, or even a more direct U.S. involvement if the situation spirals. The coming days will be critical in determining the trajectory of this very dangerous conflict.
Lita, thank you for breaking down these complex and rapidly unfolding events for us. Your insights are invaluable.
My pleasure, Garcruz.
And thank you for listening to Abu Ali's podcast. We'll continue to monitor the situation closely and bring you updates as they happen. Stay safe.